From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Inner Healings. Here's what's happening. Hundreds of flights to and from Denver International Airport canceled as crews race to clear heavy snow from the runways. And I get out to Denver once a month for our BeyondBelief.com programs. We've been dodging them, I'll tell you. More than 1,100 passengers were forced to spend the night at the airport after this major snowstorm hit the Denver metro area. Airport workers handed out blankets, baby formulas, diapers. Restaurants stayed open longer than usual. More than 475 flights were canceled, and numerous flights were delayed after 7 inches of snow fell at the airport. Jeez, what a mess out there. Tell you what else is a mess. Robocalls. October was the worst month ever for robocalls in the state of Rhode Island, with more than 13 million placed. Half of them were simply scams. These robocalls have become such an incessant annoyance that many Americans are wary of even picking up the phone. In October alone, 5 to 7 billion robocalls were placed nationwide, including, as I mentioned, 13.1 in Rhode Island alone. Nationwide, robocalls are made at a rate of 182.7 million calls a day, 7.6 million per hour, 2,100 per second. The average U.S. resident received 17 robocalls in October. It's crazy. And some of the cities, of course, that are getting a lot of them include Atlanta, Dallas, New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, Baltimore, Newark, New Jersey. Lauren Weinstein's our expert on such matters. Lauren, first of all, you know, we've had cell phones for years. Why are we talking about robocalls now? What's going on? Some kind of technology must be out there.
This is basically the result of communication costs, telecommunications costs dropping effectively to zero. Because what it doesn't cost anything, basically, to make an automated call or even a human-backed call, and you can make them by the millions where the technology exists to just churn them out, and you don't really care necessarily how many aren't answered and how many are just hang-ups. You just keep churning. And when they can be generated offshore, when the numbers can be faked, though faking them doesn't necessarily make a big difference, because a lot of robocalls now and human scam calls actually have legitimate phone numbers, but they change them very rapidly. So there's no easy way to solve this. I mean, some of the techniques that some people try to use, for example, is to block calls that come in without numbers on them. But that actually has the highest probability now of blocking legitimate callers, because the scam callers know that you're probably not going to pick up the call without a number, so they make sure there's a number, and then one day a friend of yours who's trying to reach you from a phone that has blocking in an emergency or something can't get through. So it's a very, very bad situation, and while the FCC and the FTC to some extent, they make sounds about dealing with this, and there are technical efforts to lock down caller ID so that caller ID spoofing is brought under control. That's not going to solve the problem, because it's just really a matter of economics. The calls are free or almost free. The technology exists to make them in a highly automated manner. And it's really not clear how to solve this. And I just don't hope, like you sort of implied at the beginning there, that we don't all end up in the situation where we just refuse to answer the phone anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy, Lauren. And most of these calls are originating from overseas because the people on the other end barely speak English. Now, how's that happening?
Yeah, well, it's the fact that an international call is just, you know, you and I are both old enough to remember when a call across the country, much less a call across the world, was extremely expensive.
Exactly.
This was a big. Yeah, you were talking $5-$10 a minute or more. Now it's nothing. It just has no incremental cost. And so you can hire people at very, very low, basically slave wages for call centers overseas, and the calls don't cost anything. And the big advantage of being overseas is you're beyond the reach of any national law enforcement efforts, at least based here, and they just keep churning them out. And this is something that is an insoluble problem right now. There may be some technical solution down the line, but what that's going to be isn't really obvious now.
Do you have any favorite robocall apps that stop robocalls?
I don't recommend any of them. I mean, there's a lot of them that try to do a job in certain contexts, but calls always get through. And as I was saying earlier, I don't really buy into the concept of only accepting a certain list of numbers, for example. I mean, that's another thing some people do. They say, well, I'll only accept calls from this list of numbers that I know. But again, in emergency situations or unusual situations, that can really be devastating.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you later this week. Lauren Weinstein, our expert on the Internet. Corporate tax chiefs are trying to assess the potential implications of a proposal for a new global tax system for consumer-facing businesses. This is an effort that is being complicated by what some companies describe as a lack of critical details. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is running the initiative, was scheduled to meet in Paris to discuss a proposal that would set a standard tax rate for a company's global operations and allow individual governments to tax profits above that based on sales accounted for by each country. How about that? President Donald Trump said that the United States was in the final throes in an attempt to reach a trade deal with China, but that at the same time, Washington stands with protesters in Hong Kong where it wants to see democracy. Sales of new single-family homes unexpectedly fell in October following recent strong gains, but the overall housing market remains supported by lower mortgage rates. Let's check in with registered investment advisor Mish Shedlock. Mish, what do you think about the housing market these days?
Highest home sales in 12 years, George. The only reason why they went down, it was because the upward revision in September was stunningly massive. So here we are, the highest since October 2007, actually. But all we are really is back to the trend line. Just to show you how far we fell, home sales in 1985 were at this level. Home sales in 1975 were at this level. So adjusted for population, home sales aren't really doing that much. But if you look at it, if you just compare the last 12 years, they're looking pretty good. But one reason why a second reason why they also look good is because October a year ago was particularly bad. And we're just now just up above, a little bit above that level. So we'll see. We've got a couple of forces here. Interest rates have ticked up a little bit, but they're still historically low. The problem I keep having and I keep running into is home prices, George, simply are not affordable. Wages are not keeping up with home prices. I think we got a little bit of a lift, perhaps because of the stock market here, George.
We'll see what happens. Mish, thanks. We'll talk to you soon, too. And have a great Thanksgiving, my friend. Ketamine may reduce heavy drinkers' cravings. A ketamine help may help heavy drinkers cut back on alcohol, according to an experimental trial at the University College in London. Now, when the sedative was used to disrupt people's memories of why they wanted to drink, they drank less, and their urge to drink lowered over 9 months. Ketamine is widely used in an antiseptic, sedative, and pain reliever as well. Next up, we're going to talk about your health. Christian Weil from MyHeartBook.com joins us. His latest work on Parkinson's disease, MS, and also cancer. He's got some incredible news, and he's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Our special guest, Christian Weil, dear friend and author. Christian is an author and researcher. Several of his books include Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair, Hidden Causes of Heart Attack and Stroke, Christian Weil Stem Cell and Turmeric Research Report. He has been helping others avoid serious health issues, and he became aware of his own non-cholesterol-related heart disease, which inspired him to help others. His formula, by the way, his turmeric and formula won the Emord and Associates Excellent in New Health Formula Innovation in Cambridge, Maryland a few years ago, and it is amazing all by itself. His website, myheartbook.com. Christian, how many years ago did I turn you on that assignment to investigate turmeric?
I was just thinking about it this morning. It seems like forever, George, and I
I think it could be 10 years. Does that sound right for you?
It probably does. When we first met, when you first came on Coast to Coast with me, we were talking about, I think it was Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair. Wasn't that the book?
No, that was the second book.
All right.
It was
Hidden Causes
of Heart Attack and Stroke, and we were introducing to the general public the role of inflammation, and now it is everywhere.
Absolutely. And then all of a sudden with stem cells, you started helping a lot of coast-to-coast listeners with
Absolutely.
Some miraculous things. I remember those stories. I mean,
well,
they were...
Well, good, George, because you're such a part of them.
Well, I
couldn't have done it without you. And some of those people that were given a very short period of time to live are still today, all these years later, doing exceptionally well.
Still ticking, as we say.
Yeah.
When you started investigating turmeric...
Right.
Did you realize the incredible medicinal strength of this spice?
No, not at all. And I was almost afraid to make the claims that I was getting from the medical community for fear somebody's going to say, is this guy a wacko? How can this little spice affect the major diseases in the world? But since that time, George... There have been 15,000 biomedical studies and manuscripts who've been added to the worldwide existing medical library, proving no shortage of published evidence of more than 650 to 700 different health conditions, including some that may be affecting a coast-to-coast family tonight. Information on Alzheimer's, on Parkinson's, on cancer, and more, depending on how much time we have. But George, my friend, I am as anxious to share some of these results with your audience as I would be sharing it with my best friends or my own family.
Well, they are your best friends because they think the world of you, Christian.
Thank you. And I would say if the true goal is prevention of any disease before it actually gets a hold in our bodies by inhibiting inflammation or oxidative stress or other assaults to our brains and our bodies. Turmeric as a daily additive is proving more every single day to be part of the answer. I don't think you can pick up in a magazine, you can turn on the television, turn on the radio, that they aren't telling you something new that turmeric can actually do. And just the other day, if this is the first time I realized it's this one, for people that are concerned about fluoride and fluoridation in their drinking water, turmeric has been found as an antitoxic to neutralize that concern.
Jeez, it's almost like a wonder medicine.
That's a good way to call it. And I don't think we're wrong in doing that. Now, turmeric as a daily additive, more and more every day, is part of the answer, as it has been for thousands of years in India and China. And let me say this, George. I'm the messenger. I'm not the person that's put all this together from the major universities. But if it's not the outright cure, it's an inhibitor of symptoms, just as expensive pharmaceutical drugs provide a control of symptoms without actually curing the disease. Is that right?
Absolutely. And what I think turmeric has done, and when I saw this little study, it was from some clipping from something in India.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it and turned you loose on this.
You sure did.
It just, to me, just sounded like something that could battle so many different afflictions.
Yeah.
That it was worth checking into. Now, we can't use the word cure on the program.
No, don't need to.
Because, you know, the FDA just frowns upon that. When any medical guy comes on the program, you can't say this will cure it.
Right.
But we sure can say it helps.
It's part of the cure.
It's part of the cure.
And we're going to demonstrate that tonight pretty conclusively.
Well, let's start with Parkinson's and explain to us what Parkinson's disease is.
Parkinson's is a neurodegenerative disease, just as MS, Alzheimer's, dementia, and Huntington's disease are.
It's basically, ultimately, a breakdown and the death of neurons in the brain. Neurons that transfer information from one part of the brain to another. It's been named after, you know, every now and then you'll hear about a disease like Alzheimer's. And you say, where did you get that name? Or Parkinson's. It's because usually that's the first person that they diagnosed with it.
Who had it?
And that carried the name. But what they find in Parkinson's is, first of all, very low vitamin D.
Really?
Very low vitamin D. And they find that it's in the colder parts of the world, in Switzerland, in Norway, in Canada, in Sweden, they have by far the greatest number of Parkinson's cases. And that's because they're furthest, those countries are furthest from the equator, and they're robbed of that wonderful vitamin D. So that is the first thing you want to check out. Now, the death of neurons, one of the biggest things that's come along as far as Parkinson's disease is concerned, I first read about in a small journal in the middle 80s, and that was something called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. They found, this is so exciting, they found if they bathed in a Petri dish, if they bathed the neurons with turmeric, they had an 80% regrowth.
80%? That's huge.
That's huge. And now it's become the big thing, and they're moving forward on it. But this is one of those degenerative neurological diseases, and they all the ones I mentioned, have one thing in common, George. It's the death and the dying of neurons.
Isn't that what Michael J. Fox has?
Michael J. Fox and, let me think, Neil Diamond. I have lunch with Neil's pianist for 31 years, and Neil announced last year that he was fighting Parkinson's.
Okay, that's right.
It's what got our favorite singer, and I must tell you out there, if you haven't seen Linda Ronstadt's film called The Sound of My Voice, you're missing something. This was such a talent, such a great singer. And so those are some of the people. I think Billy Graham died of it, and Muhammad Ali.
They start to shake, too, don't they?
Yeah, that's often referred to as a involuntary tremor. And that's another thing. They found out that something called Lewy bodies, and again, you say, where did this guy get that name?
I heard that with Robin Williams.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yes. So if you're suffering from Lewy bodies, the only thing they found that helps is turmeric.
That's amazing.
So that's for Parkinson's. And, you know, we can talk about Alzheimer's, which is such a concern.
Well, I want to talk about Alzheimer's. I want to talk about cancer. But
yes. What
is it about, and we're coming up to a break in about a minute or so here, Kristen, so we'll come back. But what is it about the turmeric that has this anti-inflammatory ability? What does it do?
Okay, it neutralizes inflammation. It is in one spice. It is capable as an anti-inflammatory, antiviral, antitoxic, well, when you come back, I'll have you a whole list of them because it does all of those things.
Is it the curcumin in the turmeric that does
it? Yes, it is the curcumin, as I sometimes call it, curcumin. So forgive me, I go in and out. That's the workhorse, and it is the component in turmeric. You should have the two together. We've mentioned before that Andrew Weil and Dr. Bharat Agarwal have said you need the two together. They synergize together.
All right, stay with us. We'll come back and talk more. We're going to take calls with Christian next hour. And if any of you might have Parkinson's disease or you have someone who does, check in with us, plus some of the other ailments, the ailments that we're going to be talking about. Check in with us as well. Christian's website is myheartbook.com, myheartbook.com. And he's got a toll-free number called 1-866-STEM-123, 1-866-STEM-123. This guy will help you. And just a reminder, folks, live program Thanksgiving night. I'll tell you about all the other holidays as we get close to them. But for Thanksgiving this Thursday night, we will be here with an amazing show. And, of course, you're part of it. We'll take phone calls as well. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're back with our friend Christian Wild, the noted author and researcher. His website, and I urge all of you to go to it regularly, myheartbook.com, myheartbook.com. We're talking about the incredible medicinal purposes of turmeric. And back with Parkinson's for a moment before we move on to cancer here, Christian. The studies are like, they're unbelievable. What is Big Pharma doing? They love to synthesize things, right? So are they trying to do a, take turmeric and turn it into a drug?
Whether they want to or not, the evidence is becoming so overwhelming that you are finding it. And as we go through the night tonight, we'll specialize on bringing that information to you. But where I left off with you, I was listing all the attributes of turmeric. It's anti-cancer, of course, and antimicrobial, antibacterial, antioxidant, antifungal, and antiviral. So any disease, and all of them are affected by some of these factors that I just mentioned. So there is, first of all, the reason why it affects so many diseases. Now, let me ask you, before we go to
cancer.
Yeah, let's take a look at something that is, to me, the most exciting of all. We know from the World Health Organization, we know from the Alzheimer's Associations, that they are predicting an epidemic of Alzheimer's disease in the next 10 years, 10 to 20 years.
Worldwide.
Worldwide. So if we can produce something tonight, and I think we can, based on several university studies, I've got 10. I'm only going to ask you to share two of them with me, but they are so convincing. So let's start with the established premise that Alzheimer's disease is a medical science agrees universally that it is caused by a buildup of beta amyloid plaque as fibril tangles in the brain. I know you've heard that 100 times. They are the hallmark and causation of Alzheimer's disease.
It's a brain disease.
It's a brain, a neurodegenerative brain disease, yes. With the exception of about 200,000 Americans who have inherited a form by a defective apolipoprotein E4 gene. But outside of that, it's environmental. Outside of the inherited cases, these plaques and tangles, as they're called, are what causes the internal communication or miscommunication of nerve cells between one part of the brain and another. And these are the ones that control logic, personality, memory loss, and everyday cognitive function. It's commonly known that India and China have the lowest number of Alzheimer's cases in the world.
Guess why?
Yeah, here you go, George. And so we're concerned with this epidemic of our parents, our grandparents, and certainly ourselves. So medical science doesn't have a cure for it. And here I'm going to share some information with you. If, in fact, it is caused by tangles, fibril tangles, and beta amyloid plaque. Pardon me?
And we must be dealing with, what, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of these fibers?
Yeah. They're uncountable.
Yeah.
And they're just, they go crazy in there, and they block all the communications and functions of the brain. So we are concerned about this nightmare for our parents and certainly for ourselves. Now, many academic researchers have been asking just why India and China have so few cases, and now they're going outside the box for answers, and thank God for that. George, just look at this one study from Vanderbilt University, published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, to see what they have found.
A highly acclaimed university.
Absolutely. And yeah. When you see the credentials of this reporting, the lead author of this study. Kirkman, I'm quoting.
Which is in turmeric.
Uh-huh. Has demonstrated ability to enter the brain, bind to, and destroy the beta amyloid plaques present in Alzheimer's disease.
I love that.
End of quote. That was from Wellington Pham, PhD, assistant professor of radiology and radiological sciences and biomedical engineering at Vanderbilt and senior author of the study. Now, how are those credentials, huh, George?
Pretty darn good.
Here's another one. We're on a roll here, George. Let me share another one.
Well, I'm telling you, your research is amazing. And the fact that you're able to investigate and cooperate and then put it on this program where millions of people, Christian, have the ability to simply tap into this. And, people are calling now. We'll take calls next hour, folks. But if you want to
get... George, I want to make sure that I don't get arrogant and write this in all the most difficult ways so people... common you and I people can't understand it. I try to break it down. So
I've never seen you arrogant in my life, Christian.
Okay.
Don't worry about that.
We're on a roll, and let me give you this one.
All right.
From researchers and scientists at UCLA.
Can't get much better than that either.
Oh, no. We're going to good sources. Now, this one appeared in the Journal of Biological Chemistry that further makes the point. Scientists from UCLA concluded turmeric curcumin inhibits the accumulation of destructive beta amyloid plaques in the brain, which they found are responsible for Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's. They reported that curcumin is far more effective in inhibiting formation of the amyloids. Listen to this. Than drugs currently being tested to treat the disease.
That's amazing.
And that's not me. That's UCLA.
It's almost as if, and I'm going to say this, that God has given us remedies on this planet to cure diseases and afflictions. That
right
God
on.
Just lays it right out there for us to find.
Yeah, and most of the pharmaceutical drugs that are somewhat successful, if you look into...
They're derivatives of the real thing.
They're derivatives of the real thing. Some of the cancer drugs cost $50,000 and $60,000 a dose. Turmeric costs next to nothing.
Pennies.
Yeah, so you're going to put the whole medical profession out of business. No, I don't mean to be disrespectful to the medical practice. Profession, I am a very...
You're a little more docile than Doc Wallach is when he comes on the program.
Yeah. Okay, so why is cancer?
Let's talk about cancer.
Why is cancer so difficult to control and to find a cure for it?
And there's all kinds of cancers.
All kinds.
I was at a Chicago Health show last month.
Uh-huh.
And... they were talking about diseases and illnesses, and, you know, they're talking about brain cancers, colon cancers, breast cancers, kidney cancers, liver cancers, pancreatic cancers. I mean, my God, it's everywhere. But cancer itself is just our cells that mutate and go crazy, right?
Absolutely. They mutate. Here's how I explain it. I spent a lot of time figuring, how am I going to present this on the show tonight? Is there a role for turmeric in treating cancer? What makes turmeric such an interesting therapy against all cancers? And this is according to one of the top natural medicine cancer physicians, William DeValle. He said, because it interferes with so many different mutations and cancer pathways, and is unique in that it appears to be useful for all cancers. And what did Barack Agarwal, our friend, the head of MD Anderson Cancer Center, who told us in 50 years of research, and I know I'm repeating this, in 50 years of research, I have seen no cancer that has not benefited from turmeric. So it is well established that turmeric kills cancer cells on contact, but preserves the healthy cells. Chemo, radiation, kill all cells.
Kills everything they can
everything.
Find. Yep.
Now, many diseases, here's the heavy point that I think I'm going to make. Many diseases attack our bodies by a single pathway. And medical science has been successful in many such conditions in identifying and therefore blocking that specific pathway, able to announce a cure for that particular disease. On the other hand, cancer is such a complicated, multifaceted disease, as you just said, with 200 different forms and a whole sack full of mutations to target our bodies through multiple, and here's the point, through multiple molecular and biological pathways instead of just one. Maybe the reason science has not been able to make that announcement that we have all been waiting and praying for, we have found a cure for cancer for the past decades, is because it is such a complicated and disease, leaving so many physicians and their patients dissatisfied and with a bad result. So certainly recognizing curcumin as a chemosensitizer and a radiosensitizer that soften the tumor and get a better results when the therapy includes curcumin. Now, I'm going to reach over here. I did this one time, and I damn near fell off my chair. Do you remember that?
I remember that. I thought actually that you had a couple glasses of wine.
No, but I was trying to call my attorney, say, can I sue them if I hurt myself falling out of my chair? And no. You don't sue, George. Okay. I'm going to repeat it, George, because you liked it, I know. This was an animal study, and they said, if you don't do anything for the cancer, on its own, there will be a 2% ability.
2%.
2%.
Negligible.
Negligible. If you use the cancer drug gemcitabine, you're going to get a 15%.
All right.
If you just use curcumin by itself, you'll get a 25%.
That's turmeric, result. All by itself.
All by itself. And here's the one you liked. If you take curcumin and gemcitabine together as adjunct therapy, the result jumps to 90%.
Which is amazing.
Is that amazing?
I think I sent you that one, too.
Yes, you did.
Yep.
That's right. You sure did. And your name is on it right here. And then the other one was using the other famous Taxol chemotherapy drug, mm-hmm. and the results of that combination was 92%. So what are they doing? Why aren't they doing more combination therapy?
You would think they would. My God, look at those percents.
What do they have to lose, George?
Exactly. Let me ask you a little bit about the late American prophet, Edgar Cayce.
Oh, I know a lot of
Edgar Cayce said, if you eat several almonds a day,
he sure did.
It will prevent, he didn't say cure, he didn't use the word cure, but it will prevent cancer.
Yes.
What is in almonds that would do that?
Well, would it be Laetril? I know that's in the apricots.
That's in the apricots.
Yeah. I don't know, but they still recommend a handful of almonds for everything.
Well, there's, so
I don't
there's
really
something.
Have the full answer on that.
All right, well, that's another project for you.
Yeah, I was.
There's some. So I'm thinking a combination of almonds with turmeric as just everyday supplement would do all kinds of things to help people.
Yeah. So now a lot of researchers disappointed with the results they get from all the promises from the pharmaceutical industry. We have a new cancer drug, and yet the results are so disappointing. It's a heartbreaker. So a lot of these researchers have gone back into natural medicine and have searched the archives and are finding that turmeric, for sure, has a history without side effect. Here's the point. Of all the studies that I've been looking at, you will look very hard to find a single negative side effect. That's what's really amazing among everything else.
Now, when you created your formula that you have at myheartbook.com, you right. added black pepper to it.
I doubled the black pepper.
Tell me why.
I'll tell you why. Because I spent a long time putting together not just turmeric, 1,000 milligrams of turmeric, but I thought, why don't I add 6 of the other top inflammatories to the formula.
Aha, uh-huh, okay.
Before I released it, George, I went to the world leader, who was a friend. He appreciated so much the airtime you gave turmeric because he's devoted his life to it. And so I went to him and I said, I want your blessing. I want your approval. And if I'm doing anything wrong, you should tell me. He said, this is the most unique formula. The only thing I would change, Chris, is I would double the bioperine, because 5 milligrams was giving a 2,000 added percent benefit. So I doubled it to 10 milligrams.
Good for you.
And we've had nothing but incredible results.
Well, I got to tell you why I do this. Years ago, when I was doing my St. Louis Nighthawk show, Christian, you know, I would have a group of regular callers from St. Louis. It was a St. Louis-based show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one day this guy who would call on a regular basis didn't call. You know, no big deal. But the following, you know, days went by, no call. Okay, so maybe he's on vacation.
Right.
And another week goes by, no call. And then a month goes by, no call. Finally, I find out that the guy died.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, he was a dedicated listener, mm-hmm. loved the show. Mm-hmm. You know, I would broadcast live on the holidays as I do with Coast to Coast. So he was part of that. You know, we were like his family. Mm-hmm. And I made a pledge to myself mm-hmm. that if we could just help one listener, just one, that whatever I did with my career and my life was worth it. And that's why I do some of these shows sometimes. You know, we deal with, I had a Bigfoot show on last night. We'll mm-hmm. have a UFO show on this week. We do all these things, but we do a lot of alternative health shows because I want to make sure these listeners of ours, these incredible people, stick around. We'll be back.